Father God, thanks for your goodness. It's been great to hear these good stories of community and sport and growth and working together that happen through our soccer club. Thanks that that's a picture of something that's in you, love for one another. So I pray as we look at your word now, the Bible in this book of 1 John, and we think about love, that you'll help us understand more of you and your love and the way that can overflow and help us to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these verses from this letter, this ancient letter, are about love. If there's one thing that we all like to be, it's loving. That sums up a lot, doesn't it? But I'm pretty sure if you thought about what I hope for my life, how would I hope I would live, what kind of person do I want to be, I think you could put loving at the top of that list. Love my family, love my friends, just be a loving person. But love's hard. Love's confusing. So I'm sure you'll think this is not a really great idea. I thought, what's love? So I went to Netflix. I put an L in. And once I put L in, the top search term was love. Put love. And what came up on Netflix, you probably know what it is. It was a whole list of either, you know, sentimental romantic comedies or a whole bunch of trashy reality TV. So not that helpful. Superficial, distracting, or just downright wrong in terms of what real love is. Okay, so I put aside Netflix and I thought, I know the source of all truth, I'll try social media. So, social media, quotes about love. I was a little dismayed, but what came up was a whole lot of love yourself quotes. Like, love who you are. And I thought, oh, that's, well, okay, that's kind of where our culture's at the moment, isn't it? That we hear a lot of that. Love yourself, be true to yourself. But I thought that's really not getting at what we're hoping for. How to be a loving person. I tried I went to Google Images and tried, you know, quotes about love. Now, to say, they were kind of better. And then there were some quotes like, you know, I will love you till I die, till all eternity, and my love for you is the most powerful and perfect thing in the universe. And I thought, they're kind of noble, but they're just so far out of reach. It's actually depressing. How on earth am I going to love to that degree? So you won't be surprised that I have ended up with the Bible, because that's what we're here to talk about. And of course, that's what I believe is the ultimate source of all truth. Because we need something that's not superficial, that's not meaningless, that's not depressing, and that's what we find here in this book, 1 John. So perhaps you've heard what Jesus said when someone came to him and said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, there's two. The first is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and mind, your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love other people, and that's it. That's life. If you can love God and love other people, Jesus said it sums up all the law and the prophets. And I've seen Christians be loving, people who follow Jesus. I've seen, you know, Christians in history and around the world start hospitals and care for orphans, and we're involved with some organizations here that rescue people from slavery overseas and these sort of things. Christians do things like run soccer clubs. Why do we do that? Part of that is it's a motivation of love. It's community. It's investing in helping people. We have a play group here at our church, which is along the same lines. Community, we work together to look after kids. And as a church, do what we can to be part of that in our community. I've also seen examples of people in everyday ways loving one another, dropping off a meal, sending a text to touch base with someone who's struggling. Heard a story of someone in our church who drove someone else to the hospital and just waited in the car park all day while they were getting cared for. That was because it was an act of love. Someone else spending heaps of time to get online and help someone else navigate complicated government systems so they could be helped. So, following Jesus, that does lead to love, but of course sometimes Christians can be actually kind of unloving and cruel as well. So we can't look to Christians for the answer. The question remains, where does love come from? And how can I be more loving? So if Jesus said love God and love others, my final question is, are they connected? He said love God, that's the first thing, and then love other people. Well, if they're connected, maybe there's something that can help me in being loving to others. And that's where we come to this passage in John. Because the key message from these verses is, we can love others because God loves us first. We can love others because God loves us first. Or to put it another way, knowing the love of God for yourself is what changes everything in your relationships with others. So let's take a quick look through these verses, and there's three simple things I'd like to notice here. The first one is that love comes from God because God is love. Love comes from God because God is love. We read verse 7. Alice read for us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. That phrase, dear friends, if you're looking at a different translation of the Bible, it'll actually say beloved. It's the same word. Beloved, love one another. And that actually sums it up. Beloved, love one another. You are loved, therefore you can love others. So where does love come from? No one can just keep on giving out and giving out and giving out week by week, day by day, year by year, without some source refilling the love. Like a fountain, like one of those fancy fountains that's got like overflowing. You fill the top up with water and it fills up and then it flows over. But if there's no pump refilling the top, then it's going to go dry. And soon that's going to go dry and then the next one will go dry and then the whole thing's going to be dry because there's no source refilling. If there's no love coming into your life, you can't just keep giving out and giving out. So what's the source? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So I love this. You can see the basic message of all of Christianity here. You can see the gospel. I'll never be able to live a good enough life, a loving life, on my own. I won't be able to be a good enough person to make God love me. That's like a classic way to get Christianity wrong. To think what I have to do is obey the rules, be good enough, and if I make a standard, then God will love me and I'll be okay. It's a completely natural human mistake. And that's not the message of Christianity at all. We can only come to God first saying, I can't love well enough on my own. That's the way we experience His love for us. And that's how the fountain gets plugged in. God's love to us, freely given, can overflow through us to others. The verse keeps going. So we read, beloved, let us love one another. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And then at the start of the next verse, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. So love is kind of it's like a test. It reveals. Do you know God? Do you know God's love? If so, that's going to overflow into your love and will show in love for others. Now, there's still a lot of love in the world. There's a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus and are still loving. And that's important because the Bible teaches that humans are made in the image of God. Made, good, loved by God. And there's still a remnant. Despite humanity turning away from God, that image of God is still there. And it still keeps our humanity running as we love one another. But we're cut off from the source. So knowing God is the source of all love. Because the last couple of words in verse 8 in this passage, God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Now this is a profound statement. Easily said, easily moved past, but if we pause and think about it, God is love is an earth-shattering thing to say and think about. So it doesn't say God is loving. It says way more than that. Yeah, God, it's not just He does loving things. He is in His very nature love. It also doesn't say love is God. That's a very vague and abstract, as if like love is the force that makes the universe go around, like Star Wars or something. No, it says God, He's a real person, He's personal, He's powerful. God is love. It doesn't say God is only love. There are complexities and depths to God's character, and as we read the Bible, we come to grips with them. Even something as profound and serious as God's justice is loving. Because He doesn't let evil go unpunished. He will make everything right in the end. But even that is a part of His loving character. God is love. It's even, for those of you who love theology, wrapped up in the nature of God being the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. You can chat to me about that later. I like thinking about that. God is love. But what's important here is that if God is love, he doesn't depend on anybody else loving him first. And he's the only being in the universe who's like that. He doesn't need a source of love. He is love. He is the source of love. And it goes from him to everybody else. Some people think God is sort of like a ruthless businessman. He's got all these resources and he's only going to invest in you if you'll get some return. It's like if you're not going to step up your life of obedience and be a good enough person, he'll withdraw your support or something. And this just turns that over. Now, God's not a ruthless businessman only putting in what he can get out and make a profit out of you. Now, he's an overflowing, generous giver. He's got an endless source of love and he loves you. And he wants to give. He doesn't need anything back. Love comes from God because God is love. So, second thing to think about. God shows us what love is through Jesus. God's love's not just a story or a theory or an idea. It's real. And he showed it in history through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Okay, God is love. How do we know his love? Well, this is how he showed it. Jesus Christ, who came into the world among us. This is the Christmas story. God coming to earth as a man. The eternal Son of God leaving heaven to come to earth that we might live through him. So Jesus coming to earth is like a rescue mission. There's a burning house. There's people in danger. Jesus comes, you know, it's like he arrives in a fire engine. He gets out and he sees the situation and it's danger. He doesn't have to go in there. He's quite safe and secure and happy. But he chooses to enter the house to save the people there. That's why Jesus came to earth. He was completely happy and secure in heaven, just in his sweet spot. But he said, those people, I love them, and they're in deep trouble. They're living with death. See, that he came that we could have life. So what I'm going to do, he said, is step into it. Put myself in harm's way to save them. So we know that God loves humanity, and we were designed to know him. But there's a problem. We're living under the danger of death. Everyone's going to die someday. That's what Jesus came to save us from. And the next part of the passage explains it a little more. Verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's profound. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So the problem is we don't naturally love God. The Bible teaches that every person has sinned, turned away from God, refused his love, thrown it back in his face and said, thank you very much, I'll do my own thing. But even though we didn't love him first, God has done the most loving thing ever. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And what did he do? And sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus coming to earth, that's the Christmas story. Now we come to the Easter story, the second pillar of who Jesus is and what he came to do. He came to die on a cross to save us from our sins. An atoning sacrifice. The theological word here is a propitiation. A propitiation is a sacrifice. That means God is rightfully angry with evil. Justice needs to be done. But there's a sacrifice made to deal with it, to take the punishment that was rightfully deserved. That's what's going on in a propitiation. It says Jesus came to earth to do that. He made a sacrifice to deal with God's anger. He absorbed it. Like a drink spilled on the floor and the paper towel comes out and wipes it up and it's gone. The towel's thrown in the bin. That's Jesus taking the problem that is separating all of us from God. He did it by dying on a cross. The sacrifice that dealt with the anger of God against sin was Jesus' own death. He was the sacrifice. That's what makes it the most loving thing ever done. There he was, secure and happy in heaven. He looked down on earth and he saw humanity under the sentence of death. He stepped into our trouble and put himself in harm's way in order to take the sins that should have been on us so that we could know God's love in an uninterrupted way. So where does love come from? It comes from God, because God is love. What does love look like? Love looks like Jesus stepping into our world to take the punishment we deserve so we could be reunited to God. So let's come full circle and finish with the answer to the first question that I asked. How can I love other people better? We can love others because God loved us. We can love others because God loved us. Verse 11. Dear friends, beloved, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since God so loved us, that doesn't mean since he loved us so much, it means since he loved us like that. Since he loved us in this way, since God loved us through this self-sacrificial laying down of his life by choice, Jesus taking the punishment we deserve, since God loved us like that, we can love one another in the same way. Self-sacrifice. Laying down our lives for the people we love. But won't the fountain run out of water? Won't I just get sick of giving up something that I could have so that someone else can have it? Won't I get sick of letting other people go first? Won't I get sick of putting myself at the end of the line for the sake of others? No. God's love for you refills the fountain. You know you have what you need in him, so you can love others. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So now we get this beautiful picture of what a loving community looks like. No one's ever seen God. God's invisible. None of us can put a hand up and say we know what God looks like because he's a spirit. But if we love each other like this, then God lives amidst us and his love is made complete in us. It's like his love is doing what he meant it to do. It's like a family resemblance. What's the family resemblance in your family? Is everybody tall? Does everyone have the same color hair or the same sort of shaped nose or ears or something? Families have their own family resemblance. The family resemblance that's been described in this passage is love. Those people who are in God's family, when you look at them, you should see, wow, look at the way they treat each other. That's amazing. How does that work? There's only one thing can explain it, the love of God. So, how can you be a more loving person? Well, the answer from these verses is, get to know the love of God. How can you love people better? How can you love your wife or your kid? How can you love your friends? How can you be more loving in your workplace or at school or with your brothers and sisters? The answer from these verses in the Bible is get to know God's love for you better. And that will overflow. That will change you. It's not a light thing. If this is new to you, if you're not a believer, I'm really excited to sort of be able to mention this and explain this to you from God's word. It's not a light thing because remember, sin is separating us from God, and getting to know God's love means facing it and admitting my own guilt. I've rejected you, God. I've turned away from you. I'm rightly under your judgment. And we can say that because we know what he's done for us in Jesus to overcome that. So he loves us. If we're willing to confess our sin to him and turn to him, then we can know that relationship with God that we were made for. Believing in Jesus, trusting that I've been forgiven by the death he died on the cross. If that's interesting to you, we've got these little books out the front, The Essential Jesus, just as you came in on the bench. There's a big pile of them there. What's in this book is the Gospel of Mark from the Bible. It's an Australian translation. It reads really easily. And then at the back, it's got a little where to from here section. And there's just the simple message of what it means to become a Christian in a couple of pages. If you're interested, please take one. That's what they're there for. If you're thinking, I haven't heard this before, that makes sense to me, I think I need to think more about this, please take one. I'd love for you to have one and read it. And if you'd like to talk more, I'd love to chat more with you about it, or anyone from our church would also. If you're here, you are a believer. You follow Jesus, you call yourself a Christian. The message of these verses is the more you know God's love, the more loving you'll be to others. The better you know Jesus, the better you'll make him known to others. We love because he first loved us. That's real love. Not superficial or sentimental love, not not love that's kind of selfishness in disguise, not just depressingly impossible idealistic love, but the love of God seen in Jesus Christ, the only source of deep and true and real love. So, the invitation here is to get our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus, and let him enable us to lay down our lives for people around us, because we know the love of God. Let me wrap up by praying a prayer from the Bible, from the book of Ephesians, which is about exactly that. Let's pray. Father God, we pray these words. We're confident that this is a good prayer to pray, because it's right here in the book of Ephesians. We pray that each person here, with deep roots being established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. We pray that you'll help each person here to grasp how wide and how high and how long and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love, that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So, Father God, thank you for the goodness of your word. Thank you that we get to be together today, and I pray that you'll help each one of us know your love more deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.